Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the call. Very excited to be with you this morning. Lincoln will not be with us this evening, although we have Krista on the line from our office, and Krista will be taking copious notes in preparation for the posting of the notes and the recording for tomorrow morning. He's getting another silver palm this evening, so it's a very exciting experience for he and his family. I just wanted to mention, if anybody here is in the Salt Lake area, I want to put out a little commercial advertisement for one of the people on the phone call. Catherine Martinez is an expert in making masks, custom-fit masks. I had her here at the house yesterday. She was doing a mold for Ramona's chin and nose, because Ramona likes to be a witch at Halloween, just the opposite of what she normally is. And I had a full face mask. You can imagine me sitting here in a chair yesterday with a skull cap on and my face completely covered. Fortunately, I was breathing out my nose as a cast was put on my face, and it was kind of an interesting and fun experience. So if anybody's interested in doing something really exciting for Halloween and having a great holiday experience, touch base with Catherine Martinez. You can get her number through the office. Just call Krista, and Krista can give you Catherine's phone number so that you can connect. That would be a fun thing to do. I just really had a fun time yesterday in that experience. Well, welcome, everyone. Been pondering where we are in this process. Had an opportunity to spend some time this afternoon with a new coaching client and just get started where some of you are in this process with your assessments. I would highly recommend that you go back and spend a little time with your assessment. Just go back and double-click on some of those measurements. You also have the capacity to click on the six different qualities of an intentional creator, such as connecting with people, and just check those six measurements. Listen to them. Then go to your risk report and look at the measurements for connecting with people, and read a little bit more about some of the challenges that you might be having, or risks associated with those specific thought processes. And then when you go to work on one of the specific qualities, you'll know why you're there. This is why I'm learning to connect with people. This is why I'm learning to step into someone's world. Maybe I've been a little reserved, a little resistant. Maybe I have been a little scared about how people look. I get intimidated or frustrated, you know, those sweaty palms and dry mouth when I'm around someone who appears to be successful. What can I do to step into people's worlds, get to know them, take down their walls of resistance, and get past these thought processes? And then you have the affirmations to assist you. And you can click on the affirmations and six qualities. There are the six affirmations. Set to music so that you can actually start reprogramming some of those thoughts on a very specific and pointed basis. Wonderful to be able to assist you in taking on these thought processes and shifting your life, because the truth of the matter is we live in these little pivotal moments, as we discussed 3 weeks ago, in these pivotal moments. And can we hear the thought processes that are showing up? Can we be aware enough to hear them and in those moments make conscious choices to change those thoughts? That is where success or failure is determined. Now, many of you are in businesses that are related to direct selling and as we've been working on a 90-day challenge. Remember that process of taking on your life, starting in the morning? Now, it's interesting, I sometimes have people say, Dave, well, you've talked about that before, and I say, yes, I have, that's true. But the question is, are we doing it? Are we just going through an intellectual exercise where I share, you learn, we say, that's good, got that, now tell me the next thing? Or are we actually applying in our life? Because until we reach the point of application, all of the coaching and all the principles will be of no value. As Og said, my dreams are worthless, my plans are dust, my goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. So let's make sure that we're involved in the action of planning our day, of studying the scrolls, of listening to this material in areas such as connecting with people or learning the five constructive ways to use our minds so that we're not engaged in fantasy. We catch ourselves and they say, nope, not going there. Boy, I'd love to spend some time driving around that Ferrari in my mind tonight, but I am not going to go there. I'm going to use this gift to focus on serving people and what I'm going to do tomorrow and how I could do it more effectively. What could I create? How could I create it? How will this serve? And getting inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will move your business and your life forward. That's where you want to be living. This isn't craziness. This is intentional creation. It's deciding that a year from now, this is where I want to be. And I'm going to break it down into bite-sized pieces called days, and those into even smaller bite-sized pieces called pivotal moments. And I'm actually going to intentionally create that outcome. So the year from now, when I'm sitting there and it's an accomplished deed, the joy I will feel, the sense of accomplishment will be incredible. This is where we want to be living. So that when we're talking to people, I had an experience today that was so embarrassing. And I share it with you just so you know that we're all on the same journey. I was listing one of our rental properties today with the agent that I work with and have for the last 10 years. She was going to come to the house, and she had called you. She was going to put the property on the front cover of a magazine. And I got very excited about that, but she needed to have the purchase price, the sales price, before she had our meeting, our listing meeting. And I sent back and said, I'm not really sure. I'm thinking in this range, you give me some guidance based on your experience, and we got that worked out. And she came about 45 minutes later. We had our meeting. She left, and something hit me like a ton of bricks. I went to write her an email when I had a minute to breathe this afternoon to thank her for coming and paying such attention to this particular property. And it dawned on me that the email she had sent me was the announcement of her new grandson this morning. She had spent the morning, most of the night, with her daughter in childbirth, delivered the child this morning, sent the announcement to me, excited about letting me know the child had been born and what she was doing with the property, and she needed this information. All of a sudden, I see pictures of the child on the email, see the words. Then it dawned on me that not only did I have that during the presentation, she made a comment about, you know, life can be busy, especially when you spend all night at the hospital with your daughter. I'm thinking, David, where have you been? And then I kind of laughed and said, I've been spending the whole day teaching people how to connect with other people. That's how ridiculous is this? Oh, let us be conscious. I missed some doors today that were so monumental for someone that I have such deep respect and love for, who has been such a service to our family. I missed it. I wrote her a nice email this evening and apologized for my unconsciousness. And matter of fact, I just got a response. Thanks for your kind and considerate words. I think I may have started to mend that bridge. But oh, how silly. How often do we miss when we're sitting down with a prospect or a client, a potential client, to talk to them, and they share something with us that reveals where they've been living, what's been going on in their day, what is consuming their mind, and we didn't hear it. We are so interested in what we're doing, as I was today, in getting this thing listed, getting on the market. We got tenants that just left, and I don't want to rent it again. I want to sell it. I'm so focused on this piece, and what's the price, and how much do you think we can get out of the property? And I was so consumed, I missed what was most important to this important person in my life. Let us be a little bit more conscious, because if I were in a position where I was trying to get her to use me instead of her coming to serve me, my business, I was giving her a listing. If the roles were reversed, I don't think I would have gotten it. I don't think I would have gotten it. She so unselfishly served and set an example. Let us be just a little bit more conscious. Now, Before we go any further this evening, because I've got a very specific topic I'd like to discuss with you.
Yes.
Does anybody have any questions or challenges they want to make sure that we address this evening? That you haven't addressed with me via emails? Okay. Well, I'm going to share some stuff with you tonight. There are a couple of things that have been on my mind as I've been working on finding joy in the journey. We talked about a few of them last week. In the last couple of days, I've been reflecting on something that hit me over the course of the weekend. It was something I wasn't planning on putting in here. I was talking about joy and sorrow, that particular piece. But this one seemed to hit at a very, very deep level. Ramona and I were talking this last weekend. We're at dinner, and I was reviewing what was in Finding Joy in the Journey, and the conversation is we're present in the now. Completing tasks is about being present and doing the tasks, passion-driven. Joy in the Journey is about enjoying that whole process of creation, of finding joy in each moment of the day, and how critical that is, and what draws our attention away from being present, such as bring a measuring stick of expectation into the present, and then measuring the value of everything we do based on that measuring stick. That's such a deadly thing, and it is one of the thought processes shared by 97% of those actively seeking abundance. We are so focused on what we want that we destroy our gratitude for that which we have. Because it just doesn't stack up. The car isn't the Ferrari, the house isn't the mansion, the debts are not paid, we're not making enough money to be above it all, we're still dealing with all kinds of anguish in our lives. Something isn't right, so we don't enjoy life. We don't find joy in that process. That's a great risk. Thought processes that keep us from being present. Then we have those thought processes that we're working and everything's going along okay, and here we are, and all of a sudden it dawns on us one day that we don't believe we're getting paid enough. And so we start to think about it. Then we start to think about all the work that we've been doing. And does anybody really appreciate all that we've been doing? And are we getting enough recognition for what we're doing? And pretty soon we start researching whether we're getting paid enough for what we're doing. And we start dropping hints about whether we're getting paid enough about what we're doing. And the challenge is that all the time we spend in that place, we're not in creation of the very things that would add value to our profession. Recognition is a challenge. We end up doing things to be seen. We want to be in the front of the room. We want to be making the presentation. But we're not focusing on creating the success story that would give us credibility to be there in the first place. And in worst case scenarios, we may actually believe that what we're doing is of no value to us or to others. Those thought processes rob us of joy in the journey. We're preoccupied. Instead of what can I create, how can I create it, how will this serve, getting a vision and driving that work with such excitement and experiencing joy, we're off on tangents about how much we're getting paid or how much we're being recognized. Another big challenge is time. Time. How do we manage our time? Are we trying to create today what our mind already thinks exists? This is a big challenge. We end up, if you remember that this one internally, you wanna go on and click and see if some of these thought processes are yours. It's called being effective. Are you throwing 10 balls in the air? Listen to this one. Because what happens is we create an expectation, and our mind thinks it's already there. We're trying to rush around, figure out how to create it today, and we don't get anything done. Not really substantively. We're exhausted at the end of the day. We did a lot of busy work, even a lot of work. But we didn't do a lot of creation. And there's a big difference between just working and creating. That's a challenge. Well, when we're thinking about these thought processes and starting to feel frustrated with our lives and what's happening, one of the greatest deterrents of finding joy in the process is when we're experiencing hard times, really hard times. Have been through that, have witnessed others going through that. I've shared a couple stories with you along the way. But I've been focusing on this for the last 2 days. Handling hard times. Now, if your life is perfect and you're not having any major problems, this probably won't resonate with you. However, if you've ever been in one, it can help remind you to pay attention to what other people may be experiencing, because there's a large segment of our population right now having very difficult times. I shared this with someone in a recruiting discussion today, that when we show up to sell a product and we fail to listen, or we hear something we really don't want to explore because we're afraid if we go down that, it's going to validate they don't have any money and won't be able to buy our product anyway. No, it may actually open the door to the very reason why they need your product or your opportunity. And that's where they're living, and we don't go there. We're talking to a wall, throwing up on a wall. This is of no value. So having had experiences in your own life, we can hear things differently, trust and step into someone's world, and serve them differently. Now, this initially is for those who are currently in this kind of a space, because it's very hard to be a creator. It's very hard to build when you're really mired in a mess. The thought processes that come up, which are common to about 97% of you, cause all kinds of chemicals to be released in the body. And the neuroscientists tell us it's Herculean. And Hercules wasn't even a real person, but it's Herculean to perform at a high level when those things are occurring in our thought processes. So I want to give us some perspective to this piece. So if you're in it, let me bring you some comfort. If you've been in it, let me help you recall it so that you can be compassionate. If you're still hanging on to it, let's deal with that. If you're not in it, you eventually probably will be. I'm going to share this with you just the way it came out of my mind yesterday morning and this morning as I wrote it. Got into a very wonderful space on this topic for me. And I do pray tonight that this will be of service to you. So just sit back for a moment and close your eyes and just be with this. Be with where you are in your life right now.
Right now.
It says there are times in our lives that are so painful, so debilitating, so overwhelming that we may cry out in anguish, seeking comfort that does not seem to come. Peace will elude us. Love will hide its face from us. In moments like this, life can become so dark and the despair so thick that exiting this mortal existence may seem like the only plausible escape. If you've been here, you know of what I speak.
I speak.
If you have not, you most likely will be at some time in your life. In moments like these, we may suffer in silence. We may feel abandoned, forgotten, alone. We may become angry. We may even curse the power that governs abundance. It is my desire to provide comfort if you are currently here, some direction, if the pain is still lingering from a past experience, or should you ever have to face such a moment in the future. Now, I shared this story from a different perspective a couple weeks ago. Recently, Ramona and I attended a little church near our Bear Lake cabin. We were a little late, so we sat toward the back of the chapel. Sitting on a pew in front of us was a father with his 11 and 13-year-old sons. Paralyzed from the neck down, the 11-year-old was confined to a wheelchair. His condition was serious. Several times during the service, he struggled to just swallow. Each time, his father gently rocked him or encouraged him with a smile. I was mesmerized. This was not an act. This was not something they got to go home from. This was something this family graciously dealt with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This moment was only a small glimpse into a much bigger reality. Reflect on your own lives, Ramonas. What is your reality? And what is the reality of those you meet with on a daily basis? Well, I envision them bathing, dressing, feeding, and nurturing this ever-growing young man. This routine had already gone on for days, weeks, months, and years. He was handsomely dressed this morning, making it clear that it happened this very day. Such dedication. Such patience. Such love. This was not what they planned when this child was conceived. This father, who what I'd learned later, was a rugged outdoorsman. I'm sure there were plans of hiking and hunting, fishing and long talks around campfires. But these things, in the traditional sense, were not to be. Anger could not change it. Frustration certainly could not serve anyone. Total surrender to what is was required. And I watched total surrender in action. At the end of the service, we sang, "Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings." As we sang the first chorus of the closing hymn, oh, refresh us, trap us through this wilderness, I watched this father reach over and tenderly caress his son's hand. Just as we did, we began the second verse. Thanks we give this adoration to the gospel's joyful sound. It was as if this father was saying to his son, "You are the joy of my life." Well, I lost it. This is not the only person or family courageously facing challenges of this magnitude or even greater. But it was the first time in a long time that I felt it so deeply. That morning I'd start as usual. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Well, I don't remember the sermons taught that day from the pulpit, but I will never forget the sermon taught by that father who chose to find joy in suffering. He put everything into perspective. He chose to see the good, accept what was, and make the most of it. Joy was his reward. Instead of being a victim, he was a victor, and so was his son. That morning I came looking for someone to serve, but was instead served. In Scroll 6, I Will Master My Emotions, Og speaks to being a good example. He writes, "Trees and plants depend on the weather to flourish, but I will make mine own weather. Yea, I will transport it with me. If I bring rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism to my customers, then they will react with rain and gloom and darkness and pessimism, and they will purchase not. If I bring joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter to my customers, and we might add, regardless of my reality, they will react with joy and enthusiasm and brightness and laughter, regardless of their reality. And my weather will produce a harvest of sales and a granary of gold for me. Today, I will be master of my emotions." Challenges harrow out our soul and make room for more joy. As importantly, the way in which we carry our grief can inspire others to be more courageous. When we can find little or no solace in our pain, let us think of others and how our example could serve them. Can we care enough about others to step into their world when our world is in shambles? This may also be the ultimate application of intrinsic validation. When we bring joy and enthusiasm to the world, especially during difficult times, we will be rewarded with more joy and enthusiasm, and that is a granary of gold for a hungry soul. Your greatest service may be your example. I think of Ramona's mom, Marthaine. She was a vibrant, independent woman. To save a few dollars on the new home being built, she took on several tasks, including staining of the cupboards. For years, she sewed. She weaved oval rugs from rags. The list goes on. In short, she pinched pennies until they screamed. Marthaine loved to go camping. A consummate storyteller, she would entertain the family with famed and very funny stories, the watermelon killing by Fred Gibson or the owl critic by James T. Fields. She was unselfish with her time and always had a smile and a warm hug to give. The greatest compliment of all, she was adored by her grandchildren. Ramona was expecting our first child. Huh. Mom and daughter were looking forward to the big day. 5 months into Ramona's pregnancy, we got a call that no one wants to get. Earlier that afternoon, Marthaine had lain down on a couch in her newly completed home for a much-needed rest. She was suffering from an unusually severe headache. She never awoke. Marthaine had been rushed to the hospital with a massive brain hemorrhage and was not expected to survive. Within hours, she was taken off life support. At the age of 54, was pronounced dead. It was sudden, unexpected, and final. She would not be there for this birth or the next six. She would miss the weddings and the birth of great-grandchildren. Her loss would leave a hole in Ramona's soul. 5 years later, we would be notified by another phone call. Ramona's dad had been critically injured in an accident. He would linger on life support and nearly a month before passing. Both parents were now gone. Even years later, late-night calls can create a shiver or two. Life can be fragile. However, time can be a great healer. Ramona chose to memorize Marthain's two favorite stories. This past year, some 35 years after her passing, many still uncontrollably laugh when Ramona dramatically delivers those famed and funny stories. I shall never forget Ramona's birthday this past summer, surrounded by her seven children, their spouses, and our 18 spellbound grandchildren. She gave it her all, and luckily we captured it on video. Then there was also a lunch around a campfire atop the Rocky Mountains during a couple's retreat. There Ramona stood, covered head to foot in dust from an early morning ATV ride, bent over, finger pointing, snarl on her face, mimicking an old Taz Bolton. "Get out of my watermelon patch, you thieves, or I'll blow a hole in you. They can dog pick it big enough they can pitch a dog through it." Glog writes, "And how can I laugh when confronted with man or deed which offends me so as to bring forth my tears or curses? Four words I'll train myself to say until they become a habit so strong that immediately they will appear in my mind whenever good humor threatens to depart from me. These words, passed down from the ancients, will carry me through every adversity and maintain my life in balance. These four words are," does anybody know them? "This too shall pass." Ramona's outlived both her mom and dad, yet her memory is still alive. Yet their memory is still alive. Time does not take away the memories or the pain of loss. I'm not sure we'd want that. However, time combined with humor does heal the soul. If you're in mourning, give yourself time to mourn your loss and let time work its magic. As soon as you can, reintroduce laughter. So far, being a good example in our suffering. Two, introducing laughter. Two principles. In the early 1990s, Ramona and I attended a life management seminar. We were still drowning in nearly $1 million in debt with little hope of rescue. Toward the end of the seminar, we were each given a pine board. We were instructed to write on one side of the board our current circumstance and on the other where we wanted to be in 10 years. I remember writing my miserable story on one side. The pain of loss was still very acute. On the other side, I wrote debts paid and a very specific annual income. I remember scoffing and shaking my head in disbelief as I whispered, "Yeah, right." We were then instructed to break the board in one smooth and deliberate action, to break through to the possibilities. I did not break the board the first time. Too many doubts and fears. Those of us who failed on the first try were instructed to make a total and complete commitment to create this outcome. After doing so, the board easily broke. This experience has been the source of much reflection. Wanting a different outcome would not make it magically happen. Just writing it down certainly wouldn't. Fantasizing about a time when stress was gone and mentally frolicking in vivid visualizations about what it would be like then would not create it. It would need to be intentionally created in the trenches, 1 millimeter at a time, and hopefully in partnership with the power that governs abundance. It started with an absolute commitment to do everything in my power and with trust that I was not doing it alone, even though at times it would seem lonely and nearly impossible. This level of commitment must be followed by focus, discipline, effort, and action. There'd be setbacks, but Og wrote. I remember the first time I read this, I wasn't sure, but I actually know it's the truth. "I will avoid despair, but if this disease of the mind should infect me, then I will work on in despair. I will toil and I will endure. I will ignore the obstacles at my feet and keep mine eyes on the goals above my head." That vision we've talked about. For I know that where dry desert ends, green grass grows. I will persist until I succeed. Well, the millimeters of creation finally led us to August of 2000, when we wrote the last $14,000 check. Debts paid. The joy experience in that moment was so full, so complete, it drove us to our knees in deep gratitude. We had experienced a miracle. That which seemed impossible just a few years earlier had become not only possible, but an accomplished deed. Time, laughter, and persistence are the ingredients for creating joy in hard times. I often reflect on Og's words. In the Orient, young bulls are tested for the fight arena in a certain manner. Each is brought to the ring and allowed to attack a picador who pricks them with a lance. The bravery of each bull is then rated with care according to the number of times he demonstrates his willingness to charge in spite of the sting of the blade. Henceforth will I recognize that each day I am tested by life in like manner. If I persist, if I continue to try, if I continue to charge forward, I will succeed. I will persist until I succeed. Well, when faced with hard times, we can choose to become victors by being an example to others. As quickly as possible, we want to introduce or reintroduce laughter, which will keep things in perspective and lighten our load. And lastly, we can persist with undying tenacity until we succeed. The alternative, and reflect on this with me, the alternative is bitterness, resentment, blame, shame, escape, avoidance, fear, and anger. This is the road chosen by victims, and victims never heal. In fact, they often compound their wounds and make them worse than they were. Focused on themselves, they do not see the suffering of others. Laughter is an unwelcomed mirror. Persistence is a waste of time. Time is all we have. How we choose to use it is up to us. Now, we've watched others suffer nearly beyond comprehension. We may have been one of these people. Trust that with a commitment to bless the lives of others, a willingness to laugh in spite of the pain, the work to back up our vision by creating a different outcome, and an undying faith in the power greater than ourselves, we will witness miracles. We may, in fact, become one of them. In summary, handling hard times may require that for a season we hang on with our fingernails. Those who do so even when it seems impossible live to tell a tale reserved only for true heroes. Let us be both witnesses and participants in this healing. This too shall pass. Now, for anyone who's in one of those moments or knows of what I speak, you also know that this is the most difficult time to be a natural creator. This is the most difficult time to be present in the now, seeking guidance, receiving inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. In action, creating. It's a difficult time. If there's a loss, we mourn. And as soon as we can, we get out of it. If the loss is a financial loss, we don't want to spend any time mourning. We might have lost a home, or lost a job, or a credit card, or other things. Let us make the conscious decision tonight, in this 90-day plan to put your life together, is to look at our life experiences. Are we still hanging on to a painful moment? Are we in one? Or if not, we'll eventually experience one. And the secrets to handling these hard times is about caring about another person enough to step into their world, to focus on people, other people, when our life is in shambles, to still see somebody else's need, to laugh, and three, to be persistent. When we do these three things, and I've added a fourth one, I've asked Mary Williams for permission to use her poem, Footprints in the Sand. If I get permission, I will include that in this document. Having faith, undying faith, in a power greater than ourselves to move us forward, those four things combined. We can get through something, and sometimes, as I said, we must hang on with our fingernails long enough. Time is a great healer. Okay, now I'm going to open this up to you. We've got about 25 minutes tonight. I don't want this to be depressing. This is a subject we can talk about. We can go from here into any question you've got about recruiting or talking to people or connecting or building your business. This is your opportunity to explore possibilities on your behalf and on the behalf of others that are on the phone call. So we've got 25 minutes or so, maybe 20, 22 minutes to do this. I'm going to open this up in just a moment. We've had a very interesting experience in this coaching session so far. We've only had a handful of people step up and have conversations. I want you to know that I'm a very safe place, and I'm not going to bite your head off. I'm here to serve you, so let me have that opportunity to serve you and serve this group. So who'd like to go first? Challenge you're facing in building your business. Do we have a brave soul tonight?
Dave?
Yes.
This is Colette. How are you?
Hi, Colette. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
It's really good to hear your voice.
Thank you. The challenge that I am having right now is just the fact that, you know, I have my regular job, and it is it's quite a challenging job, and I come home from that job so emotionally and mentally exhausted that I'm having trouble finding the energy that I need to put into, you know, my second business.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend in this job on a daily basis? Commute, et cetera, everything?
About 9.5 hours.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being love it, 10 I really don't like what I'm doing, how would you rate your current job?
Probably about 5.
What is it you like best about it?
Probably the people that I work with. You know, I have a good group of people that I'm working with.
What do you like least about it?
The pressure of deadlines. I detail steel buildings, and we have, you know, customers, and things have to be done on time schedules, and then there's a lot of pressure to have everything be really accurate. And so it's just, you know, it's just really intense in what's going on a lot of times. And there's goals for set for the department. And, you know, if you're not in a certain time quota per job, and if you have more quality issues than you should have, you know, there's consequences for those things.
Should there be?
Yes, there should be. I don't have a problem with the fact that they're there. I'm still rather new in my position, and there's a huge learning curve, and I'm trying to go through that learning curve, and probably some of the pressure I'm feeling I put on myself because I am not satisfied with taking 200% of hours on a job, even though I might have to be learning new skills to complete the job.
Tell me a little bit more about putting pressure on yourself. And I might tell you before we go any further, Colette, that this is a topic that I could almost hear people saying, oh, thank you, please tell me what to do. This is a major challenge for everyone. I mean, you make all kinds of promises to yourself in the morning about what you're going to do when you get home, you know, build your business. And by the time you get home and you're so exhausted, you know, you're going to do that tomorrow. It's just what we all do. That's why the business doesn't get built the way we want to as fast as we were hoping it would. So tell me more about this pressure that you put on yourself.
Well, I want to be respected by my peers at the job, and I want to put out a satisfactory product for our customers. And so I just feel very responsible, you know, to do my best all the time. And so I, you know, like I said, I'm just holding myself to a very high standard in that situation because of those things. And I have a tendency to do that in every area of my life ever anyway. You know, I'm the perfectionist personality.
Okay. Thank you for going there. Anything else that would be helpful for us to know or share an idea or two?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I guess there's all that, the pressure there, but, you know, I've gone through a couple of there's been three things that have been pretty extreme for me in the past year, and I've been through some pretty deep grieving processes, which I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel on those things.
It's more personal.
Yeah, well, one of them was a huge financial thing. One is my youngest child graduated, moved out, left me empty nest. Because of the huge financial thing that happened, my husband has gone long line truck driving, and so I'm here alone. And we have animals and things that have to be taken care of, you know, and so I take not only my usual responsibilities of the home, but also my husband's on a large scale.
So you're experiencing some hard times.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the first thing you want to do, Colette, is give yourself permission to be in the middle of hard times.
Okay. How do you do that?
Well, you're a perfectionist, and we've talked, I think, privately a little bit about that, and the risk is that there's an unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable. Isn't that a great line? Harvey Shope, my development partner, wrote that one morning when we were seeing this. That's kind of like an unyielding, you know, and he rattled that off, and I thought, that's perfect. Yeah, this desire to have everything done so perfectly and having so much on our plate and not giving ourselves permission to not be able to do it all. And so we compound the problem by the dialogue we have with ourselves about ourselves because we're unable to do something that's unrealistic. Think about
okay.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm beating myself up and condemning myself for behavior that's impossible. Hercules couldn't do it. But I'm beating myself up because I can't. That's what I mean by saying take a deep breath. If you're in the middle of a challenge, you've had a serious financial setback, your youngest child has gone empty nest, which is kind of a sensitive time because all of a sudden big shift in life.
Yeah.
Your husband's not available because he's out doing long-haul trucking. And so you're sleeping alone at night when that isn't what you'd like to be doing. That just robs so many important things after a long day at work. You're on a learning curve in a new job. You like the people. There's a lot of pressure, but that pressure is just part of business. And you want to be respected. You want to create a great product. You want to do your best. And you're bringing, as you said, I might, if I can paraphrase it, a little bit of that obsessiveness to the workplace, which I'm sure your employer loves.
Yeah.
So we don't want them on the phone, as I tell you, just to take a deep breath and be okay, not with mediocrity. You want to bring your best to the workplace, but not obsessively. Give yourself permission to be in this space.
Okay.
This is a lot. Some people say, well, how do I get out of this? Well, you want to, as much as you can, know, Colette, that in your business, you'll get more accomplished by talking to one person privately and seriously about the pain they're experiencing in their life. There's most likely nothing that they could mention that you wouldn't understand.
Probably.
You can go into, yeah, probably, absolutely. You could go into a deep, wonderful space with them and introduce them to your product as a solution to their problem, if it's appropriate, and do more marketing in a short period of time. So be focused on other people. You could miss, as I missed today, Judy, my agent's birth of her grandchild. Oh, my goodness. How could I have missed that? When I looked at the emails, I said, the picture is all, oh, it's splashed all over the page. I didn't even see it. I was so consumed with my stuff, and I'm not dealing with what you're dealing with. Mine pales in comparison to this. And I missed it. So let us be conscious in those moments, because if we can, when our life is in chaos, still see other people and hear them, then you can serve them at a very high level because you know what it's like to be there. Matter of fact, you're there right now. Laughter. You want to get some laughter back in your life. When we're perfectionistic and driven, it's called a systemic thought process. And systemic thought processes have no funny bone. It's not funny. It's life or death. It's right or wrong. It's win or lose. Get some humor in your life. Find some time to laugh. Big issue. And
okay.
Third, absolutely be persistent through this. Keep plowing every day. Now, I don't know your religious persuasion, but you may also want, you'll want to invoke a power greater than yourself to walk with you. And you'll discover, as the poem that Mary Williams wrote about footprints in the sand, that during the hardest times, there's only one set, because you're generally being carried, even though it doesn't feel like it at the time.
Yeah.
I would stay into that space and just keep hanging in, even when you're just hanging on by your fingernails, because this, too, shall pass. And retrospectively, not in the moment, retrospectively, it could be one of the greatest moments of your life. You will prove to yourself what you're made of. You'll find joy in your courage. You'll surprise yourself. Now, could you release some of the pressure in the day by not being too obsessive? Yes. Could you, by not spending too much time on the drive home thinking about how lonely it's going to be tonight without your husband? Or lamenting the loss of a financial situation? Could you free up energy by avoiding those things? Yes. For me to ask you not to go there, that'd be a really tough thing to ask. If you could, you'll have more energy.
Yeah.
Because things are bad enough on their own, on the face value. You go into that space with your very busy, active mind, and it's going to spin out of control. And when it does, your body is going to respond by releasing ligands and neuropeptides that literally will wear out your cells of the body. You'll be exhausted, literally exhausted, just by the chemicals that are released by entertaining those thoughts. So the more often you can consciously say, I'm not going there today. I'm not going to think about what we've lost. I'm not going to think about how lonely I'm going to be. I'm not going to be wondering what I'm going to be doing the rest of my life. I'm going to be in creation today. I'm going to get up a little bit early. What can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? I'm going to be in that space all day while I'm at work. On my way home, I'm going to be listening to something that's powerful. I'm going to take these qualities, and I'm going to download them to an MP3 player, and I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to listen about how to connect with people. I'm going to listen how to use my mind constructively. I'm going to listen how to complete tasks. I'm going to listen how to let go of these systemic thoughts, be disciplined and structured. I'm going to listen how to have joy in the journey. I'm going to listen how to improve my self-esteem. I'm going to only feed my mind positive things. Is your mind going to want to yank you back over because of the seriousness of the problems? Absolutely. But the more often you're in charge, the more energy you'll have. And the more energy you have, the stronger you'll feel. And last piece. Sometimes it feels good to be a victim. It just feels good to wallow in our stuff. Unfortunately, it doesn't create a change. It just doesn't. And, as I shared with you last week, very few people really care because they're wrapped up in their own stuff and their own crap and their own problems. That's why I said tonight, this is the stuff heroes are made of. Colette, you could be one of them. You could be one of them. You could live to tell about this. And oh, it will be a story to tell.
I hope I do, because I certainly don't like the alternative thought on that one.
Any thoughts about what I shared with you?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, a couple of months ago, or, you know, when I first started into this journey here, you know, with the group coaching and whatever, I've come quite a ways in this last little while from where I was then. And I must say, you know, as you were saying, you know, mentioning the religion and the gratitude, and since I have gotten back into the habit of giving thanks for what I have every day, I've seen quite a big improvement. And also, you know, with finding others to serve, and I have tried to take, you know, the 90-day challenge, and I haven't kept it as religiously as I would have liked to, but it is making a difference there, too, with finding someone to serve. And my business maybe is a little bit, what I'm doing right now with my second business is probably a little different than what a lot of the people, you know, listening are doing, because I am not doing a multi-level marketing right now. But what I am doing, I'm in a position right now where a fellow associate of mine, and we're trying to put together some seminars for some small type things for some energy classes that we're teaching.
Wonderful.
So, you know, I feel like I have some great opportunities. I feel like the Lord's blessed me with some great talent, and I've just got to get myself channeled in the right directions to make everything happen that is, you know, budding before me here.
Isn't it interesting how much we really know? Because you know. You know.
Yeah.
You know what needs to be done. That's the beauty of this. When we step back from our own stuff, the real Colette shows up. The real one. She knows. She knows. No confusion.
Yeah.
No overwhelm. She knows. Trust her.
Yes, I'm trying to do that. And the other thing is I have been trying to involve some fun in my life, too. Instead of just feeding the horses every day, I've been trying to get together with my daughter a little bit and get out and do some riding. And when my husband's been able to be home, you know, we've been and to get out away from the house a little bit and do a little hunting and a little riding, and that's been helpful too.
May I ask you a really personal question? You don't have to answer it. I just want to know if you've got any comments in this area.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Very common when we're overwhelmed with this stuff to want people to understand us. Like, nobody understands how bad it is. Nobody understands what I'm going through. we take this victim posture that we're so torn up and things are so awful and nobody really fully appreciates. And it's understandable because some things really are horrible.
Yeah.
And when we start to hear the truth, sometimes we can get angry and even frustrated because we don't want to let go of that. No, I don't want to let go. I've earned the right to be suffering. Did you ever go through that?
Yes. And probably, differently through this crisis as I have in past crisis in my life, because I have done some other seminars and some other work and started realizing the victim role that I take on at times several years ago. But anger, for sure. Well, I won't say I haven't been in victim role during some of this, because yes, I have. And I don't believe it at as deep a level as maybe I have in the past, but I've been there. The anger. I have been so angry, and not at God, but just not necessarily at God, but just why does it need to be so hard? You know, I'm trying to, I've always tried to do everything I believed would bring me success and would, and I've always tried to be there for other people, and I've always tried to be there for my family, and now at a time when I could be using all of my time to bless those that I love, I'm having to spend at work.
And I want you to know why I asked the question. Stay right there with you. We're right where you are, because I want you to serve this community, if you would.
Okay.
I don't know if there are, but there may be some on the phone tonight who are back where you were when you were really angry. And there's still a residual of, why can't I be serving my family instead of working to support the family?
Yeah.
What would you say if we were all together in a room, and you stood up to share, and you just felt impressed to speak to those who are struggling about this victim issue, what would you say to us?
Give me just a second to get my thoughts straight on this. First of all, I think, especially if I look back at my past experiences, when I'm feeling like I am the victim, when I am the butt end of everything that's happening, it's usually because I'm not willing to get outside of my comfort zone enough to put something else forward. It's easy to let everything be someone else's fault or responsibility, or to believe that I deserve something different than what life is giving me right this moment. When really, in reality, I really deserve this challenge because it's what's going to make me step forward and be the person that I really am. And that can be tough to recognize. And even when you recognize it, it can be tough to appreciate it and believe it, or and still not be angry about it, because sometimes our situations push us beyond what we feel is beyond our limit. And usually that's not really true. Usually we have a lot more in there than we have any idea we have. So I would say, you know, if you're angry, okay, be angry. Give yourself some time to be angry. But put a limit on how long you're going to be angry. I was telling this to a friend here not very long ago that was having a hard time with something that had just happened, and she said, I just need to be mad about this right now. And I said, okay, fine, be mad about this, but be mad about it for a couple of weeks, and then let's put together a plan and go forward with past it. And so I think, you know, yes, sometimes we do need to allow ourselves to grieve or to be angry or whatever it is, but then ourselves up by the bootstraps and go forward.
You've taught us well. And this is recorded, so should you ever have one of those moments, you go back and listen to your own advice, right?
Okay. I probably will about the day after tomorrow.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing tonight.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity.
For those listening, now you know, when you share, you serve. Well, everyone, thank you for this opportunity tonight to be with you. May we take on our experiences. Many are having hard times. Let us focus on, in spite of, seeing others and their challenges, using ours as a reference point to better understand the full magnitude of what they're experiencing. Let us bring laughter into our world, and let us persist, because this too shall pass, and it'll pass quicker if we spend more time creating and less time lamenting. So everybody have a great week. Let's take this on, and we will see you next Tuesday evening. Thanks, everyone. Good night.